Hello again, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. This is David Collins, and we'll be playing video game music, so have a listen and hope you enjoy. Okay. So, for this show, I've actually got some special things. As I know, last week I was talking about the iDig Music Festival, an Irish music festival that just focused completely on video game music, and it was fantastic. For a show about video game music, going to a festival about video game music, it was a match made in heaven. And last week I played some talks and some pieces of music and some great things I heard from there, such as by the Triforce Quartet, and by Russell Brower, who had some very poignant stories to tell and such like that. But this week, I'll be talking about another aspect of the iDig Music Festival, the video games. You see, the iDig Music Festival was a little like a convention. It wasn't just, you know, musical performances and some talks. It also had some people doing art and, vitally, some people showing the games that they were making. This was Irish-developed video games on display for everyone. Now, Ireland has actually produced quite a few video games. Even going back to like the late 80s, there was the Emerald Software, who developed part of the Spectrum Moonwalker game, you know, the one with Michael Jackson, and I never quite played that. I actually ended up talking with one of the guys developing that, and through the years there's been a bit of Irish game development going on here and there, such as with Funcom having a branch open here in Ireland, and they produced that kart racing game, and after that there were other things, and there were hope in the early noughties about, you know, Ireland going forward, and there were game developers like Kapuki and stuff. But fast forward, you know, now it's a new generation, now a lot of the focus on indie games, you know, independent games made by small teams, and in one room I walked into, there was a whole wealth of various people working on their own indie games, and it was a lot of fun. So let's start off with a light game, and I mean that very light because it involves a floaty ball. It's literally called Floaty Ball. So let's start off with the first interview I had with an Irish game developer there. So, have a listen and hope you enjoy. All right, and here we are in the games room of the iDig Music Fest, and there are a lot of great games around here. And one game I see in front of me seems a very colourful, multiplayer-esque game, and I'm here with the developers. Would you like to introduce yourselves and talk about the game?
Hi, I'm Paul. I'm one of the guys on Good Man Lads, and this is our game Floaty Ball, your colourful local multiplayer. Danny?
Yeah, I'm Danny. I'm working with Paul on this game. It's a four-player head-stomping action game.
I was playing it earlier. Basically, you move around and you try to stomp on someone, but if you go below them, then they might stomp on you, so it's...
You are a floaty ball, yeah. You are a floaty ball, and you've got to get above the others and dive on their head, thus popping floaty ball.
Cool.
Yeah, it's been really well received. Getting a lot of fun plays here today. We've had a nice little ring around our display. And yeah, there's been some fights. It's been good.
Cool. And what platforms and when do you think this game will be out?
We're developing for PC, and with PC then we would hope that we can easily port to other platforms. So we can be Mac ready, we can be Linux ready. We're working with Unity 3D. It's very easy to port.
Unity is popping up everywhere these.
Yep. Well, you'd be mad not to use it. This game, when it first started, we coded almost on a piece of paper without Unity. And then, after we decided to develop it, then we could use all the tools that Unity offers.
That's fantastic. Really, all right. Well, best of luck, and I'll look forward to it when it comes out.
Thanks very much. You'll find us at Good Man Lads on Twitter.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that was me talking with Good Man Lads developing the game Floaty Ball. Now, I had one or two slight technical problems when I was recording. Largely, it was my first time using a Tascam. A Tascam is basically a professional recording device. First of all, thanks to Tina and everyone at Dublin South FM in general for giving me the loan of a Tascam. It was very gracious of them to give it to me, given the fact that certain other people had taken loans of Tascams and hadn't returned them. Anyway, the point is... unfortunately, it was kind of unfamiliar with the device, and I didn't realize you had to press record twice in order to get a recording. And the great thing is, the first time you press record, the red light starts flashing, but it's not actually recording. So I ditched a couple of interviews. But don't worry, when it came to The Little Acre, which was one of the games I looked at and was very much impressed with, and I found it very delightful, I managed to get a follow-up interview with one of the other people on the team. So have a listen and hope you enjoy.
And here I am with a very beautiful looking game that that grabbed my attention a while back, The Little Acre. It is a beautifully rendered game. Some of the graphics look like something out of Disney or Don Bluth, and some beautiful animation. And I'm here with the co-founder of the company and the designer. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, nice to meet you. My name is Christopher Conlon. As you said, I'm one of the co-founders of Pewter Games.
Okay, and would you like to describe The Little Acre for us?
Yeah, so The Little Acre is a point-and-click adventure. It's classic in the sense that it's a 2D point-and-click adventure, and even down to the animation style, where it's a traditional frame-by-frame animation style. So like you said, it's kind of like a Disney aesthetic or maybe Don Bluth. But then aside from that, then we're kind of mixing it up a bit, because as the player changes to like a different almost universe in the game, we change the art style a bit there.
All right, and so it looks very beautiful. So what's the game about?
So the game is about Aidan and his daughter Lily. They're both living in Ireland in the 1950s, and then we mix up a bit of fantasy with that when they inadvertently find themselves going to this other world through a machine that their crazy inventor granddad made.
I know, it looks very fantastic, and it's basically a point and click adventure game with some great bit of humor as well.
We try to inject as much humor as possible. I'd say most of the humor would come from Lily. She's kind of like the comic relief. She takes just everything in her stride. Everything she encounters is just fine, and she usually has something funny to say about everything.
Well, I played it earlier and I really did enjoy it, so I'm definitely looking forward to the full release. What platforms and when will it be available?
So it'll be available on Steam and Xbox One for sure. We haven't announced anything else yet, but we probably will later on.
Okay, all the best.
Okay, thank you very much.
And thank you very much. And that was Pewter Games with The Little Acre.
So, as you can see there, I feel that interview didn't really do the game enough justice. It was very beautiful. There was, like I said, you got to control both the father and the daughter. And you were controlling the daughter, she was just trying to make porridge, but causing all sorts of chaos. And her dog suddenly started running around trying to rescue her from completely injuring herself, like the utterly reckless but fun, cute kid she was. And like I said, the animation was great. I believe they were using an animation toolkit, I forget the name, but it was more designed more for actual like TV style animation, so it's like, you know, professional stuff. And I believe some of the animators were trained in Ballyfermot, which is a good tradition of animation as well. So yeah, animation has always been one of my, you know, interests, along with video games and, you know, movies and a lot of cool stuff. So a lot of great things going on there. But yeah, that was The Little Acre, and like I said, it was a point-and-click adventure game. And later I discovered another point-and-click adventure game at that and interviewed the developer, and afterwards I can't find the interview. Hooray, here at BitNote we revel in professionalism, apparently. But I'll just try to describe it just to make up for it. It was called The Dark Side Detective. It basically is actually a kind of a fun little game. It kind of has a very like retro sort of pixelated art style to it. But the idea is that essentially you're a detective in this town that's kind of like haunted by a lot of supernatural stuff. And the idea is that the game consists of a whole load of like mini episodes that are very short, but involve like something like a sort of a TV series. As the developer said, like they took a lot of inspiration from the 90s. And the fact that part of the location the game takes place in Twin Lakes is kind of a very obvious reference to some of the cult TV they may have watched back then. And in my case, you know, most of the time you're in these things, you're playing demos or something. But when I sat down, I got to play an entire little episode, and it was a nice little story about a girl going missing and where is she. So you talk to the people, and then of course when you look around, suddenly it gets deeper and deeper. And then suddenly when you're in too deep, you know, will you be able to escape from it and everything? And that's about as much as I can say without spoiling it. But it's kind of fun, you know. There's a kind of a fun sense of humor about it, including something that really seemed a little like that just very much reminded me of The Simpsons, but also still trying to keep that dark, you know, sort of like, you know, brooding atmosphere, but not taking it too seriously. And it's being developed for the PC, Mac, smartphones, and tablet devices. And like I said, sorry can't show the interview with those things, but it did seem to be a nice and fun upcoming adventure. And I, you know, from what I looked at it, I did enjoy it very, very much so. So, this moves us on to our next thing. And this game wasn't actually... So yeah, that was the Dark Side Detective, which I don't have an interview for. And like I said, point-and-click adventure with very nice retro-style graphics and kind of like, you know, you, when you are the detective and you have to investigate the dark side. Alright, now on to a game that's actually not... that actually has a team that's scattered all over the world, and one of those locations is Ireland. It's kind of tricky to explain, so why don't I just let the developer I talk to do all the talking. Have a listen, and hope you enjoy.
Okay, so I'm here with a developer who's worked in the game Gunsports. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Shane Marks. I'm a developer at Necrosoft Games, working on Gunsport, which is a... cyberpunk volleyball with guns, and in the future there's no more war, everything's resolved via Gunsport.
Cool, and it's like all the countries, there's like Japan, Cambodia.
Yeah. So we've got Japan, Cambodia, Russia, Congo, and the People's Republic of Oakland.
And it's very vibrant, I've noticed. It's like bright, colourful, you know, very vibrant, like sort of like 80s Japanese arcade games, and it's all like HD pixel art as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's taken a really, really long time to get everything done. It's taken a long time, I mean, but it looks great, and we're really happy with where it's going, so, yeah.
And where did the idea come from?
So the idea came from our lead designer, Brandon Sheffield, who ended up playing this game by Midway that came out in 1978. And it's an old arcade game. There's only a few hundred of them in existence, and it's a game where two hillbillies basically shoot a can and keep it up in the air. And we thought there was something weirdly compelling about like that style of play, so we decided to turn it into a weird esports game, which is Gunsport.
Okay, and this is where now everyone is basically just shooting to keep a volleyball from landing on their side.
Yeah, for sure. So the way it works is that you have five countries and a team for every country, and then every team, it's a cooperative competitive game, so every team has like their own style of weapons that they play together against the other team, and you're kind of trying to strategize and just work out and how to play.
Yeah. Up to four players as well.
Yeah, it's up to four players. Yeah, it's a pretty good fun time.
Okay, and just you were saying something, you know, you don't exactly have an office, do you?
No, we don't have an office, so we're kind of just everywhere all over the world. So our lead designer's in Oakland, I'm in Ireland, obviously. One of our programmers, lead artist, is in Poland, one person's in Hungary, another person's in Sweden, another person's in Uruguay and Russia, and we're all over the place.
How did you all get together, by the way?
So everyone got together via other various weird ways. So I ended up getting together because Brandon Sheffield runs this website called Insert Credit, and I read Insert Credit, and when I was at a games event, I met up with him and we hung out, and we inevitably ended up working on something.
Cool. And you said you've been involved in your own bit of game development before now.
Yeah, so I used to work at Tribal City in Galway, and when I was in college, I used to work at Microsoft's game studio in Dublin, working in tools and localization and stuff like that.
Now you're going indie, joining up with a bunch of people from all around the world.
Yeah, just decided to make our own stuff, so yeah, it's a super good time.
All right. Well, listen, when can we expect to see it, and what platforms shall be hopefully available on?
Yeah, so we're hoping probably the end of the year. Iron Galaxies is publishing it, who makes Killer Instinct, and we're probably going to put it on PS4, Xbox One, not probably, we are putting it on PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Great. I look forward to it.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that was Gunsport, and boy, that was kind of a fun little game. Like I said, it just shows how the world can be a lot these times, where people all across the world can collaborate on a video game. And that's not even the first time it happened. I believe there was a horror game called Penumbra, and there have been many other games developed. It's tricky, completely different skill, but they seem to be managing it, and boy, does it look like a weird and gorgeous looking game as well. Alright, I think, before I go further, I just want to mention that, there was another game there that I actually did play and I did enjoy, but unfortunately I couldn't quite snag an interview with the developer. It's basically was Super Sword Shield, or I think Super Sword Shield, depending how you read the logo, and it was by SnozBot, and one of the developers is John O'Kane. And full disclosure, John O'Kane and I were in the same then did a game development course in college. So there's a whole other thing about how it's very important for people to disclose things, and that's fair enough. But yes, just to be upfront, so I did know him, but I didn't end up interviewing him, which is kind of funny. But the whole thing is Super Short Shield was kind of a bit of a fun game. It was also kind of going for the retro style with bright colors, and you're a knight on a horse, and you're racing across the landscape. And you basically got two things: either use your sword or your shield. And the trick is you've got all these skeletons and archers and demonic things, and the idea is you have to basically hit the sword to attack or the shield to defend. And the idea is that, you know, you have to keep, it's kind of an infant runner, so if you get hit you'll fall back, so the idea is to keep attacking, keep the right timing so that you succeed. Now, to be honest, at the start I thought this was kind of simple. These sort of infant runner games aren't hugely to my taste, but as I played I suddenly started realizing a couple of things. For a start, the game, even though the game had a simple system, it was a little more complex than I thought it was. For instance, I realized that if you put the shield on someone, instead of attacking them, you push them back. And then what happens is they'll spawn a ghost, and then you can attack that for extra points. And then I discovered that, you know, there's a way you can actually throw the sword at the enemy if you time it right. Or when you upgrade the sword, you're able to shoot a bolt from your sword, which gives you more things. So there was actually, and this still keeps the very straightforward control system of basically one button for sword and one button for shield. And this actually was pretty kind of cool and interesting, because it does show that, you know, like, even with a simple enough control scheme and a simple enough premise, there can be depth and there can be ways. And this is what makes a game addictive. You're thinking, okay, how can I do it this way? How can I do it that way? How can I, like, boost it so that, you know, this works in that way? And so on and so forth. So I actually did like Super Short Shield. I believe it's coming, it'll be coming to mobile platforms, and I think there might be a web version. But just to be clear, that's by Snozbot. And that was another fun game that was on display there. So, out of all the games that were, there was also one other game that was on there, but that was kind of like more non-digital, so I kind of like didn't really look at it that much. I probably should have. But anyway, on to the last game, and this is by a guy who I've actually been following for a while. We met up at a game jam a while back, but I really didn't keep in contact except for on Twitter and stuff. But, and I actually didn't really contact, you know, by contact on Twitter, I mean like follow on Twitter. But I've been following his game and got kind of interested in it, and it is Guild of Dungeoneering. So why don't I just go right over to the interview, have a listen, and hope you enjoy.
And here at the IDEG Music Fest, we've got two of the people who've worked on the Guild of Dungeoneering. Hello, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Absolutely. So I'm Callum Larkin. I guess I'm the original developer.
And I'm Stephen Gragan, and doing the audio on the game.
Fantastic. And I've been following Guild of Dungeoneering for some time. It's basically a game where it's an adventure in a dungeon, which sounds standard so far, but you actually control the dungeon itself.
That's right. So our funny twist is that you don't get to control your hero directly. You build the dungeon around them. You put down rooms and monsters and loot, and then they actually are AI controlled. So you're kind of trying to influence them, trying to get them to level up, fight the right monsters, but sometimes they let you down, they go the wrong way, or they run headfirst into a hard monster, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I was playing it there. It's actually quite a bit of fun. And you've basically been developing it. You've been developing it for a while, but you've actually recently grown the team to like 5 people,
That's
I think.
That's right. Yeah, there's 5 of us now. It began as a kind of a game jam project. Then it's just grown and grown. And about 6-7 months ago, started getting a few more people involved. And we've signed with a publisher called Versus Evil in January. And since then, we've really gotten a lot of, you know, publicity. They brought us to a few big shows. We were at PAX, 2 different PAXes this year, GDC, RESD. So we've been kept really busy. There's 5 of us now, which is fantastic for me, because it's so nice to have extra people to help.
I can imagine. And it's I was playing it. It's a fun game. You influence the thing. You influence the adventure, and then you also, when it's in battle, you choose which card. So it's kind of a card-based game. You've actually got physical cards for testing out some of the combat system.
That's true. So it used to be that combat was completely automatic because it's AI control of your hero. When they ran into a monster, it would pop up this little battle system, but it was completely hands-off. You just watch them fight. And we decided we want something you actually had more control of. And we decided, let's try an actual tactical combat system. And we came up with a card-based one, because that kind of if you see the game, you'll see it kind of fits with the whole aesthetic of the game. It's like a pretend board game. So you're playing this little kind of deck-building card game is the battle system. And yes, we actually prototyped it on paper to kind of refine it before we coded it into the game.
Cool. And what about the music in the game, man? Tell us a bit about that.
Well, we've been working long and hard to try and refine it down to what exactly would suit the game. It's been a challenge because it's kind of got a cute art style, but we don't want it to necessarily be a cutesy game too much. So we've been refining it, and it's been a delicate balancing act to get the right tone in the music, but it's coming along well.
And that might have been easier, actually, if I had just gone to you and said, you know, make this super cute, look at the art style, come up with a music that just complements that and makes it super cute.
It would have been easier, but it would have probably let the game down a bit.
It's done a lot of experimentation with the tone of the music to try and change the feeling you get while you're playing.
Definitely. Well, I think as listeners to the show know, music can have a huge effect on the feel of a game. So how did you get interested in game development?
So basically as a child, we got a ZX Spectrum. That was our first computer. And a ZX Spectrum, I mean, for us it was all about games, but it comes with BASIC, this programming language, built into it. And to play a game, you put in a cassette tape, and you had to type in BASIC, run. Like, it was all, like, when the computer started up, it was a command line, and you typed in run. I mean, that's all we needed to do to play games. But it's funny, back in those days, like, you'd get computer magazines, and they'd have whole sections dedicated to code, like, just lines and lines of code, and if you typed it all into your computer at home, you'd get, like, some sort of little game. So there was no copy and pasting, there was no internet. Magazines printed code, and that kind of gave us the push. I mean, it's how I ended up being a programmer, and I think ultimately how I ended up making games as well.
Cool. All right. When can we expect to see Guild of Dungeoneering, and on what platforms?
We're going to PC and Mac first, so our Steam release is going to be first, and that should be this summer. We're still finishing the game, but we're pretty hopeful we'll have it ready by then. And then we're going to work on a tablet release some months later.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you both very much. That has been fantastic. I look forward to the game.
Cool.
Cheers. Great. Thanks.
As you can see, that's definitely something to look forward to. So those were all the games that I saw while I was there. It was actually pretty fun to like look around and see all those games there. But and keep in mind, these are all games that are actually, you know, still in development. You know, none of them have actually been officially released recently. So the games you've been hearing about here are like upcoming games. You know, this is like not exclusive. Well, yeah, okay, it's kind of an exclusive preview of stuff that's going to be hitting the Irish games music scene. And of course, Irish games have been around for, like I said, a while, and even recently with indie games, they've been like, you know, Coup, the Shroud of Morrigan, and P3 Biotic, and very many others like that. And of course, Alja Balance, made by a certain someone who, yeah, okay, it's me. There's pretty a vibrant scene of game development in Ireland, and by a wide variety of genres, and of course, with a lot of different themes. I'm just going to play some music by the guy who's making the music for Guild of Dungeoneering. Just have a listen, and hope you enjoy. Thank you. That music you just heard there was by Steve. And like I said, Steve is going to be working on the Guild of Dungeoneering. That was a more noir-themed thing, which I doubt is going to be actually in the game. By the way, speaking of music, in terms of the Dark Side Detective, I've got to mention this, but the person who's working on the music is Ben Prunty. Ben Prunty, of course, has made the music for FTL, or Faster Than Light, and which I played on the show before, and that was definitely quite an absorbing track. He made some great music, but of course it was kind of his breakout hit, and now he's going to say, okay, now I want to be known as more than just the guy who does the music for Faster Than Light. So now he's doing some music for other games, and of course, like I said, one of those includes the Dark Side Detective. And I'm running a blank now. I think there was one other Irish game music that he was also doing music for as well, but we'll leave that for now. So while I'm signing off, I think I should just mention one other Irish game developed game that actually wasn't there, because apparently the developer didn't know about it. I'm not actually sure fully about how they ended up getting this specific selection of Irish games. I believe part of it was contacting DIT, and also there's also a regular event of Irish game developers called Dubludo. There's that, and you see, there tends to be meetups of Irish game developers, and they can show their stuff and everything. But regardless, there is one Irish game that is being developed that wasn't mentioned, and I think deserves to be mentioned. It is called Portal Knots. It is developed by a guy called James, who goes by the alias James Games plus James. Once again, we've got the whole retro style with the bright colors and the, you know, whole things. And basically, you control a different cast of characters, each with their own abilities, like one can shrink and one's more of a cowboy. And basically, it's a platformer, so you run across a whole range of different locations and everything, and hit these portals and change characters and deal with different things. And it's in development. You can pay and get an early version of the game. But I just thought I'd shout that out, because a friend I know online was playing it and seems to enjoy it and had a good time, and he basically put me in and said, wait a sec, you know, do you know this guy? And I was like, oh cool, this is actually a pretty good game. And so there you go. So yeah, Portal Knots and all the other great games I've talked about here, the Guild of Dungeoneering, Super Sword Shield, Gunsport, The Little Acre, Floaty Ball, as I said, the Guild of Dungeoneering, and yeah, they're all Irish games. Well, like I said, with Gunsport, it's not an Irish game, but it all works out. They're all Irish games that are all going to be released on various different platforms in the future. And so, if any of those interest you, keep an eye out. Maybe follow the people on Twitter, or just, you know, try to remember yourself a few months from now and see if it's been released. And with that, I'll leave you with there. So, this has been David Collins with BitNote, giving you a great selection of what the Irish games are being developed at the moment. I hope you enjoyed, and all the best.